Thank you so much for just being that it can be annoying sometimes of the area that we find the same person over and over speaking before you. But most of us have engaged in a way that just past Thursday we have engaged in a gathering, whether in a friend, in a family, that due to the reason of the word called Thanksgiving, we're so privileged that this country have this feast of Thanksgiving, which other countries don't even have the understanding of things. I mean, don't have this holiday that they can put forth together with family circles. Sometimes because of our busyness, we even forget to even phone call or even say hi to your brother or your mother or your sibling or your children. That takes away some because of our busyness. But we thank God that He given us this one day of a year just to acknowledge of the importance of family gathering, friends, and so-called. But despite of having that area, but before I move on, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And because He lives, that's the reason that we are here at this moment. Let's bow our head. Father God, thank you again. May your name be honored and glorified with thanksgiving. In your name I pray. Amen. What had happened last Thursday? We probably sometimes forget the difficulty of finding to be grateful. Yes, we went, thank you, by God. But in that area of togetherness with your family circle, your friends, and so forth, what has impacted you the most in the way of being grateful in that gathering of that feast that you have had put together forth? What is gratitude? I titled the message, Gratitude, for this I am thankful. When I say what is gratitude, gratitude is an emotions expressing appreciation what one has. It's an appreciative that always engages in that area of being grateful. And with that Sister Sandra had put an emphasis also this morning. Just because our theme for this month is about thankfulness, she put an emphasis in an area of why we become thankful. She put a verb in that essence of thankfulness. And what was that? She asked us. It's an action verb called take action of being thankful. Being gratitude is when you are engaging in that action verb of being thankful. Practicing gratitude means paying attention to what we are thankful for, the degree of feeling more kind and compassionate toward the world at large. Toward the world at large. It can motivate people to make positive change in their own lives. Because in some areas, friends, there will be more negative area that will come before you. But when you are in that state of being grateful, being thankful, then those will become a positive in your life and in my life. Yes, there may be some hurtful that may come into your pathways. But that one thing, because of He lives, that center that we have, because we can't do it alone, of being thankful. We thank God. And when we thank God, what happened in our life? When we have God into our life, yes, you will never find, Rowena and I were speaking in front, what makes us miserable is that we look for a perfect people. We look for a perfect church, which you will never find it. You will find places that you will be filled with gratefulness. But I believe more that in that area, you will never find it. It's only to the benevolence, loving of Christ living in you. Let's move on to the area which I have prepared is the verses that we just read has reinforced us the necessity of thankfulness. And about the text, the author is encouraging us to cling to Jesus. He is the sacrifice for our sin today. We are go to Him. Earthly citizenship isn't our priority, but heavenly. So by Him, we offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. What is that sacrifice? It is the fruit of our lips. What is the content? Making confession of giving thanks to His name. About giving thanks, it was characterized of those condemned in the book of Romans that they were not unthankful. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Amen. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. As I just said earlier, the verb called action of thankfulness, then we may know, but Father, let me pray. Father God in heaven, it is not me, it's not my meant in an area of being directive, in the area of delivering the words. But help us, O Lord, to just contemplate of who You are. The God that has redeemed us to Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgive me that if I ever deliver directive, I'm just like you. I'm just a human needing forgiveness and able to forgive. We may know very much in the Word from cover to cover, but it repeats here. They knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because that, how could intelligent people turn to idolatry? Idolatry begins when people reject what they know about God. Instead of looking to Him as the creator and sustainer of life, they see themselves as the center of their universe. They make their own God that are convenient, their own selfish plans and decrees. When we put ourselves first before God, we idol many areas. Time is number one that can access idolatry into our life. To make time for God in area, we spend more time. I was asking, I don't know who asked us, that how many hours does a human being watches television? They spend more time engaging on the television screen over spending time with the Word of God. But listen to this. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And it reads, "And let the peace of God dwell in your heart, that which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." The word rule comes from the language of athletics. Paul tells us to let Christ's peace be umpire and referee of our heart. Our hearts are the center of conflict because our feelings and desires clash. Our fears and hope, distrust and trust, jealousy and hope. How can we deal with these constant conflicts and live as God wants? How can we live this way? To live, what it says, that allowing Christ to live in peace. Remember, he said, in this world you will face many tribulations. Take heart, I overcame the world. Says, let God be the umpire or referee in your heart. He is the one that's going to tell. He's going to want to direct you so that you will find the peace. My peace I will leave with you. The peace that this world believes. Nothing compared to what He can give us. Yes, many times we go through. We have studied that what will be the signs of His soon appearing. Many false teachings, calamities after calamities. And we see that more often now in California, aren't we? We see that more often, left and right, that we see that more into our life. But how can this be, the one that we're going to be reading, when these things are happening? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Reads, "In everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Yes, it says give thanks. But where it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I want to focus more on the will. Yeah, we can say thanks, but in the will of God, when the discussion that we have in front, Rowena, the devastation of what happening to that individual itself. For us, it's easy to present this word, to give thanks, because this is the will of God. It's easy for us to say those that are not in that situation. But if we can see the distinctive area of the will of God, permits us to understand a lot of the promises he has given us. That word, that perseverance builds character, and character builds hope, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Being thankful helps us to recognize our limitations, our frailties, inabilities, and dependence upon others. We have to depend on others, depending on one another, encouraging one another. That's what the 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 15, that's what Sister Sandra was talking, to encourage one another. That's what the end of that verse is, because I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters. But it's an area of encouragement that Jesus will come. But for those that don't have hope, let's not live like those people that don't have no hope. In that regard, being thankful causes us not to be prideful. Sometimes, because that area, our pride comes before ourselves. We went to a memorial service with my wife last Sabbath. The message was concerning about making time of your family. And he phrased one area that is very common that we can hear, which is life is good. I mean, life is short. Let's make the best of it. And it's an area of sometimes of arrogancy. Life is good. I mean, life is short. I spend the way I want to spend the way I want. But we forget the centerpiece of who we have to thank for. Who gave you life? Who gave you the day that you are able to say that word? Life is short. Let's make the best of it. But when are you making the best of it? It's an area that we can admonish, that we can learn from the time that we have together as family, friends. Last Thursday, I don't know what time you spend time with that gathering, but I spent time in my own gathering. I did not have my children with us celebrating the feast of Thanksgiving. But we're so fortunate that we have our siblings and my father-in-law together, feasting together. The reason we can be thankful for is the creation. Consider that the purpose of the creation is for man's needs. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And Genesis 1:29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yield I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Having that in mind, in the creation, God has provided the raw materials for food and water, clothing, shelter, oxygen, and other items of interest to our lives. Moreover, it is also in the creation the basis for employment is found. Moreover, it is also the creation that the basis for employment is found in Genesis 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden and of Eden, to tend and keep it. The resources that we need to build everything that we have comes from the creation. Moreover, we have the sun, moon, and stars as sources of beauty, navigation, and timekeeping. The timekeeping or navigation, growing up in the Philippines, we use many of that area of navigating, the sources of area to find when and where in the area. It's funny that I have a friend that he's a fisherman. He loves to fish. And he told me he has grown up fishing back in his country in the Philippines. And he said, I bet you. Not because there's water, there's going to be a fish. No. Yeah, there is fish, but will they bite? That's what he says. He says, you go and fish. Those of you that wants to fish, that love fishing, he said, when you go fishing, before a new moon come, before and after, you go and fish. I guarantee you, you'll catch a lot. And he has done that many, many times. His friends that go fishing at Pacifica area, he said, why are you always catching a man of this? I told you so. But it's also an area of navigation. I'm not telling you of area that putting God's last, of area of your distinctive understanding. But it says, the moon, the sun, and area will navigate. It's an area of navigation and timekeeping. Don't you know when the sun sets? What time is it? You look at it. When the sun rises, you look at your time. What time is it? Genesis 1, 14 to 18. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be the signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light through the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. I'm thankful to God that He put us on a planet where He has provided for us. The Bible. Where are you reading those verses that I have just read? It says the Bible, God's revelation through the Holy Spirit. When we consider that God chose to reveal His mind to us, what a blessing is that. We could not know God's thoughts without Him revealing them to us. Without the Bible, He could not reveal them to us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 11. But as it written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man know the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The faithful man whom God inspired to write His word. We are so fortunate, brothers and sisters. Most of you went to Almshaven. Majority of you went to Almshaven. We are so grateful to have an inspired workman of God, work lady of God. What a blessing we have to engage in this faith that for many areas of this world has inspired, her writing inspired many people around the world of her writings. 40 different writers over a period of 2,000 years. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What if David had given up? What if Paul had given up? What if Mrs. White had given up? We wouldn't been in this faith. We would have probably been in a different faith. But today's printed word are for us to know our Creator, our Redeemer, our salvation, and our friend. We are so fortunate to have the printed word today. Most of us, especially now, that you have your iPhones, you can bring them everywhere. You have no excuse. I have no excuse of not engaging the Word of God. We are so fortunate to have freedom as well. Some countries don't have this freedom. And for those that preserve the Word of God to be printed and put them for our use. We are not able to read, study, and learn about the apostles and prophets without it. The majority of the people in the world have not had the privilege, like I just said earlier. But Jesus promised he would preserve his word. Look at Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. It's read, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Yes. It is the time that we have to let other people know, and it's our obligation and our responsibility to tell that he is alive and active. Being thankful also, like I just said earlier, that we feast last Thanksgiving because family and friends take also an area that we can be grateful and thankful to learn those all areas of being gratitude. I'm so happy that as for the last 44 years, I spent time with my wives. We just celebrated our 44-year anniversary yesterday. Wives, Proverbs 18, verse 22. Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good things and obtain favor of the Lord. Husbands, Titus verse 2 to 4. Titus verses 2 and 4. Just let me write down these verses, study them together because of time reasons. Titus 2, 4. That they may train the young women to love their husband, to love their children. Children, Psalms 127, 4 to 5. Christine have just shared that in Christ. Children obey their parents. What it says in Psalms 127, verses 4 to 5, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gates. Parents, Ephesians 6, verse 2. We have also obligations as parents. Honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. I was once a child like you. I obeyed also my parents in a way. Grandparents, uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, cousins, and etc. Friends. Proverbs 17:17. Our friend love. Let me read it. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Look how important friends can be. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Yes. 3 John 1:14. The friends salute thee, salute thy friends by name. How about your church? It says the church. God's wisdom in creating her, or meaning the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavens, heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the autonomy of its congregation. Consider the plurality, the quantity of local leadership. Consider the cooperation of the congregation. All these aspects show God's wisdom in the design and organization of the church. I want to speak just mainly San Jose Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, our own church. Yeah, we may not, that's just the plurality of local, of our own leadership. Because of our amount of the quantityness of our members, I look at it also that because when we are called to be one of the leader of this church, yes, we listen to the word of what God wants us. We always put that in our mind because of our willingness. Yes, we, with our willingness, sometimes we are limited in the area of our theologians, or gone through scholar, academically as well. But sometimes we use that our just willingness. God, if God is wants us to be an instrument for Him, that's why that area that we are so, we can be thankful of the area that we can encourage and elevate one another, because we have just one goal in life. We have just one goal. If we have just that one goal, one mindset, our center of Christ only, rather than elevating it, elevating that individual, we're pulling them down, and it's going to be difficult. But I truly believe that as if we are willing, God will prevail. Our members, the church members, Romans 12, 4 to 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same functions, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We may have areas of inability and ability, but I believe, we strongly believe that if we serve God, I strongly believe that it is a gift from God. And that's also our study for this quarter is about oneness in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we can be oneness with one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 26. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members at that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 14. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. As it therefore not of the body, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it there before not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have not need of you, nor again the head to the feet, and I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seems to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable are these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lacks. 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. How many of you have hurt your pinky? How many of you hurt your pinky? It hurts, right? The whole body feels it. And that's how Christ is telling us to be in one where that person aches, we all aches. When that person rejoices, we all rejoice. That's what it says. And let's not say, sometimes in our area of leadership, that sometimes an area that we may find sometimes are not present to do the area that we have to do. We're so grateful that areas of other members are willing and able to just say, I will do it. Christine had just done that earlier because of Valerie not present. It is the area of just allowing that flow that Christ is always ready for you and myself, and that we should be also likewise in that manner of readiness. The salvation that is in her. Yes, we become part of the body by being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27, For as many you as were baptized in Christ did put on Christ. Yes. To be in Christ is to be in the body, the church. The church is the body of Christ. And he put all things in a subjection under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fill all in all. That's Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23. To be in Christ is to have salvation, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Salvation is in the church, the body of Christ. Jesus, for his love, John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friend. Romans 5, 6 to 8. For when we still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For his teaching. Who's teaching? Jesus teaching. John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 7, 17, if anyone will do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or I speak on my own authority. For Jesus' example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. John 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Sometimes the area of foot washing, the communion service that we do at once a quarter, he taught us to do as he has done for his disciples, for his sacrifice. John 10, 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. 1 John 3, 16. By this we know love. By those we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Is that possible? Is that possible, friends? To lay down your life to your brethren. Amen. We can do. I can do all things through Christ. Who can strengthen me? Sometimes that can be impossible. But remember, the title of this message, gratitude. That's why I am thankful. For his leadership. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yes. In conclusion, those passages, verses, what has said. That's why in this area, we can be thankful. We can say, for this I am thankful. For his creation, the Bible, family and friends, the church, Jesus himself. On being thankful, this isn't a comprehensive list by any means, but it is a start. Remember what I just said earlier, that in that area of gathering that you have with whoever you have a feast with last Thursday, what area have touched you the most in the area an act of thanksgiving? Tell someone you know the things which you are thankful today.